Exploring and Applying the Parables, Parva Press. The Parable of the 10 pounds, or the 10 minas. Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27. English Standard Version. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas, and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why, then, did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him, and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you, that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for those enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here, and slaughter them before me. Holy Bible, English Standard Version, copyright 2001 by Crossway Bibles, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. The Parable of the 10 pounds, or the 10 minas, Parva Press. The events leading up to Jesus telling this parable. The Lord Jesus was on his final journey up to Jerusalem by way of Jericho. He had just taken the disciples aside and warned them that he would be taken from them, that all that was written about him would happen, that he would be handed over to the Gentiles, mocked, scourged, shamefully treated and put to death. He had also told them that on the third day he would rise from death. But they had no ears to hear it or minds to understand it. On the way into Jericho, he was waylaid by a blind man persistently crying to him, Son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd, with good sight, recognized him only as Jesus of Nazareth. The blind man, with none, recognized him as God's promised Messiah, the Son of David. He was not put off by the discouragement of the crowd. He knew that the Lord Jesus alone could help him, and in determined faith, he cried out to him for mercy. He was heard and healed by the Lord and joyfully followed him, giving praise to God. In Jericho itself, the exceedingly rich and hated chief tax gatherer, Zacchaeus, had a totally life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus. Salvation, God's total rescue, came to his house. The Lord used that incident to declare what he had come to do. Not to be a military leader, restoring the fortunes of Israel, but to be a shepherd, laying down his life for their rescue. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is the setting in which the Lord Jesus told the parable. He told it for a particular reason. He was making his final journey, the 17 miles up to Jerusalem for the Passover. The religious leaders were waiting for him, and watching for an opportunity to destroy him. At the very beginning of his journey to Jerusalem, Some Pharisees had warned him to escape. But Jesus had responded, saying, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, stoning the prophets and killing those sent to you." The Lord knew exactly what lay ahead. However, the disciples and the crowd did not. They had a totally different expectation. Their understanding and hope was that this was the moment, that at this Passover, the Lord Jesus would spectacularly establish the kingdom, proclaim himself king, throw off the yoke of Rome, and restore the nation of Israel to the peace, power, and national superiority not seen since the glory days of King David and his son Solomon. Do you recall the sad comment of the two walking to Emmaus and saying to the unrecognized, risen Lord Jesus, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel"? This false hope was utterly dashed by the crucifixion and the events around it. The Son of Man came not as a conquering hero, but as the suffering servant of the Lord, to give his life a ransom for many. However, false hope and euphoria had gripped both the disciples and the crowd. It had blinded their eyes and shut their ears to his warnings, and was sweeping them along to think of nothing else. Hence the parable. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. It was a false hope, a hope built on a misunderstanding of the ways of God, and a hope about to be shattered. He told the parable to prepare them for his departure, to assure them of his return, and to teach them that there was business to be done until that day. There is a parable with very similar teaching recorded in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents. It has very much the same thrust, but it is distinct. It was spoken privately to the disciples in Jerusalem in the final hours of our Lord's ministry. The talents that were given varied in value according to each servant's ability, and there is no reference to the receiving of a kingdom or reference to those who would not have him rule over them. There is also a whole section concerning a guest without a wedding robe. As Leon Morris points out, there's not a problem with our Lord using a similar story in a fresh setting to draw out different aspects of his teaching or to reinforce his previous teaching. The significance of the nobleman seeking a kingship. Historians suggest that the parable of the minas or pounds was anchored in familiar local history. As a subject people, no one could govern without the express permission of the Roman overlords. Any military leader who aspired to become the king of a conquered land had to go to Rome, to Caesar, to receive his kingship. Herod the Great had done this. On his death, his kingdom was divided between three of his sons, each of whom had to have their inheritance confirmed by Caesar. One of these sons, Archelaus, built a palace in Jericho. Archelaus was so dreadful that a delegation was sent to Rome to say, in effect, "We will not have this man to rule over us." It was in part successful, for although Archelaus was permitted to govern Judea for a time, he was never granted the title king and was eventually banished. So here is a parable that would immediately chime with local history and be well understood by the Lord's hearers. The parable itself. As it describes a nobleman going to a far country to receive his kingship and then returning sometime later, Jesus is warning them that his kingdom will not appear immediately, as they had hoped, but after a lapse of time. J.C. Ryle describes it as a prophetical sketch of Jesus himself and his kingdom. Jesus clearly warns his disciples that he would be leaving them, that they would be given business to fulfill in his absence, and that he will return. On his return, he will call them to account, vindicate and reward them according to their faithfulness, and finally bring the judgment of God on those who reject him and his kingly rule. In the full light of the New Testament, those with Christian eyes can see in this parable glimpses of what lay ahead. The hatred of the religious establishment and Jesus' arrest, false trial and crucifixion. His resurrection, ascension, and his being made the future universal Lord, as described by the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Philippians, obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has raised him up and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. And finally, his total kingly rule, described in Revelation by the Apostle John. The Lamb, found worthy and given the scroll, entrusted with all authority over the whole of human history. So here, in this brief parable, we are given a prophetic sketch of the crucified, risen, ascended, crowned, and suddenly returning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow! What a vision! The purposes of God for his Son are far greater than the disciples, the excited crowd, or many of us have ever dreamed of. The gathering of the whole world under the sovereign rule of the one who told this parable. In the meantime, the parable also gives us a picture of the business and the manner of conducting it that should occupy his servants until he returns.